Hi, my name is Kate Dermody, and I'm a history teacher here at SUNY Empire State College. I have been a teacher for the last 15 years, and I have previously taught in secondary education and alternative school programs such as Upward Bound. Today, I'm going to speak about the importance of clarity, transparency in education, and the value of using rubric, especially in the online setting with adult and non-traditional students. When I was in ninth grade, my first period of the first day of high school was Earth Science with Dr. Falco. I went to Amsterdam School in the late 1990s. The walls were painted hospital green and orange, and the smell of stale cigarette smoke and Axe body spray wafted through the halls. I was a very short, bushy-haired little girl and very awkward. My book bag was bigger than I was because I stashed every single book in my book bag. So, I didn't have to go to my locker and risk being late. I would fly through the halls to safety and land in my classroom rather than face the chaos of the hallways. Always anxiety filled. To add to the stress and anxiety, first period was Earth Science. And Earth Science is complicated. Magma, igneous, continental shift, gradients, tough stuff. And since we were now in high school, grades mattered for college. And I remember all of us students eager to ask Dr. Falco one question: how were we going to be graded? Annoyingly, Dr. Falco answered, "I take all the names of all of our students in our class, I toss them in the air on a set of stairs. The students that land on the top stair get A's, students that land on the middle stair get C's, and the students that land on the bottom get F's." Now, we pretty much knew that he was joking. But throughout my 20 years as a teacher and a student, I have heard this story told by many teachers when students beg the question, "How will I be graded?" What is a grade worth, and why do grades matter? Interesting thought, especially being here at SUNY Empire State College, where for a long period of time we didn't have grades at all. We used a narrative form of evaluation, and there is something amazing to be said about this. There are still remnants of those in my filing cabinet here in Plattsburgh, and I've read them, and they are absolutely beautiful. However, no matter where we are in our teaching careers, we still need to ask ourselves, how do we grade responsibly and effectively? And how will I be graded is a valid question, especially for our SUNY Empire students. Some of our students are first-time students coming back with a family and working jobs, sometimes too, maintaining work-life balance. In fact, this fall, 2018, I have two women on the opposite sides of the state. They do not know each other, but they both have husbands who have committed suicide connected to the opioid epidemic, leaving them both with small children and struggling to finish their degree. Many of our students face anxiety and stress, and online learning can be a lonely place. But teachers, we must heed our battle cry and we must ask, how can we help? In order to do this, we have to remember what it feels like to be that middle schooler or high schooler lost and confused. We have to remember what it feels like to be in the hallway surrounded by everyone taller than you. Our students have been through so many hoops. They are underdogs, they are survivors, and as teachers, we have the power to give them the tools to succeed. One of those tools that I have chosen to provide my students is an assignment rubric. When I first learned of rubrics, I was not a fan. It's like trying to fit all this learning into one box or four boxes. But now that I'm in the thick of it, there's so much information I want my students to learn, and you throw my ADD into the mix, and a rubric is essential for me to be a quality teacher. It forces me to boil down my expectations to the essentials so students know exactly what I want from them. I started using rubrics the first time when I was teaching my own ninth grade classroom. It helped me evaluate student learning effectively, and it helped students see the expectations for the course. It created a bond between teacher and student, a contract, if you will. When I was teaching, I decided to go back and take a few more courses for fun. My favorite history teacher, Dr. Carey, was teaching a European history course at SUNY Plattsburgh, and he provided his students a rubric, clear and organized, transparent teaching. He actually had to sign the rubric and attach it to the paper when we handed it in. Today, we both teach a genocide course, and last spring he invited me to come back as a guest in his classroom. I was humbled and nervous, and when I entered the classroom, he gave me a new rubric, and I noticed something very interesting. It was even simpler than the one I remember, which makes me wonder, is simpler better for students? All signs point to yes. I provide a rubric divided into four categories: quality of information, amount of information, citation and organization, and historical connections. This rubric is provided to students in their learning contract, in their Moodle room, and I even provide a screencast explaining the rubric itself. There's no hidden fees, no hidden charges, and no hidden agenda. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. Just transparent teaching. I want my students to feel comfort from an online course. And I know that sounds strange, comfort from an online setting, but feeling comfortable leads to confidence and in turn creates a positive learning environment. It is a challenge to work at a distance, and I think a transparent rubric is a small step that we can help to create a feeling of security and alleviate anxiety and ultimately help our students be successful in their learning experience. Most importantly, I think as educators, let us never forget what it feels like to be a student. It will ultimately make us better at what we do so we can serve our students effectively. Thank you so much.